This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, cheeseheads. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm not a cheesehead. I say that not disparagingly. I've been so busy trying to learn about wine and food and people and music and arts and culture and film and books that the time to study cheese, the art of cheese, was lost on me. Although I had been to Les Amis du Fromage in Vancouver and Hastings. I absolutely love it. And interestingly enough, in talking to our guest today, that's where their cheese heaven started, when they realized what kind of cheeses you could have available to you and fall in love with. What I've done is I've driven over to Haltwhistle, H-A-L-T Whistle, a Haltwhistle cheese in the Cowichan Valley. And we're going to talk to, and we're going to spend the hour with Kirsten Thor-Roverson and Corey Spencer, who gave up their various careers to become cheesemakers. And in an attempt to actually bring the whole thing full circle, I thought a wine pairing with those cheeses would be important because we wine fans would like to know what cheeses go with which wines. And so I invited Karen Newington, who's the tasting room manager at Unsworth, just in this basic same neighborhood as Haltwhistle. What I didn't know until after the invitation had been extended was that Karen had worked for almost 5 years at Haltwhistle before she moved on to her wine career. We talked about is cheese science or art, the types of milk, raw or pasteurized, molding and pressing, terroir, and the cheeses themselves, Abergavenny, Bellegarde, Belmont, Chèvre, Clevedon, Feta, Fromage Frais, Nailsea, Tadwick, Tombury, Tom de Valais. You see what I'm talking about? And these are cheeses that you would recognize, except they have renamed them, except for the feta. And because Kirsten and Corey attend the farmers markets and sell their cheeses, Kirsten Saturday at the Duncan Market, Corey Saturday at the Moss Street Market, and Thursday night in Esquimalt, I get them to just compile just a couple of the dumbest questions ever asked about their cheese. Oh, we have a lot to talk about, which is why the entire hour is going to be consumed with the cheeses at Haltwhistle. Do enjoy. You can find the details at mulliganstew.ca, Tasting Room Radio therein. And right at the end, Karen wraps it up by saying the wines that she was talking about and pouring and the price points on those wines from Unsworth. Have yourself a great cheese head week. Enjoy. We'll do this again. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I am under perhaps a maple tree in the backyard at Haltwhistle Cheese. We need the shade because it's a little warm. And we're just off of Coxsala. That's about as much as I'm going to give you in terms of direction. But we're very close to Duncan. Very close to Bill Jones and Deer Home just around the corner. And Zanata, as a matter of fact. I'm talking to the owners of Haltwhistle Cheese, Kirsten Thorensen and Corey Spencer. And joining us to do some wine pairing is Karen Newington, the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this cheese company. So it's Cowichan, a wine country, but now it's cheese country. As a matter of fact, Kirsten, as I was driving down here and watching my maps and things, I saw a sign that said cheese, and I was going to turn because who else would be making cheese but you? But there must be other cheese makers.
There is, yeah. There's been a couple newer producers pop up in the last little while. So the sign you saw was for Cowichan Station Creamery. I think they've been active since maybe November or so of 2021. So they're pretty new, but great to have them. It's always nice to have more cheesemakers in the area.
And if I'm not mistaken, Karen, I was told after the fact, after I invited you, that you in fact worked here.
Yes, I worked here for 4 years, or just about 4 years, just before I came to Unsworth.
Were you going to be a cheesemaker, or were you just waiting for wine to call you?
Well, initially I was waiting for wine to call me, and I was milking some goats, and then ended up working in the cheese room for a while and doing an apprenticeship, and then made my way up to cheesemaking.
Do the goats recognize you if you walk out there?
I should hope so, but that might be a long shot.
Okay, Corey's joined us for a second for this very important question, and that is, how did you get from, was it software to cheesemaking?
I did software for 15, 17 years, I guess, before I decided that it wasn't really my calling. So I found an apprenticeship on Salt Spring Island, where I made cheese with a cheesemaker over there, and then later went on to go make cheese in France and the UK with a couple of cheesemakers.
What was it about cheese that drew you?
It was, I discovered this cheese shop in Vancouver.
Fromage.
Les Amis de Fromage, yes, that's right. Where there were hundreds of different kinds of cheese. And I didn't grow up with hundreds of different kinds of cheese. I grew up with, the standard cheddar and Havarti and whatnot, and sort of opened up that door where you get so many different variations based off based off of milk. I mean, there's so many different variables that can control where the cheese goes. And it was of interest to me. And so I followed that and later ended up with a herd of goats and making cheese of my own.
It's out on East Hastings, my friends, if you haven't been there. It's like Yankee Stadium of cheese. It's unbelievable. Les Amis de Fromage. And they know what they're talking about. They're serious people. Did you have the same bite?
No. I met Corey in about 2007.
He turned you on to cheese.
He did, yeah. Like Corey, I grew up with, grocery store cheese, nothing fancy. And I was living in Vancouver and met him over there. And he wasn't happy with what he was doing. And he was like, I'm going to go make cheese. I'm like, okay, that sounds like a thing. We ended up coming over here in 2010. And for the first few years, I wasn't involved. I was working off the farm, but I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. And the time seemed right that I could leave my off-farm work. And so we came here. At that time, we were only milking the goats and selling the milk to another local cheesemaker who's not in operation anymore. But around that time is when we started getting the plans in motion to build our own processing plant and making our own cheese.
You had to come up with a name.
We did. Originally, we were the Happy Goat. But when we decided to branch out and go into cheese milk, we adopted Halt Whistle Cheese Company. For a lot of our cheeses, we chose little villages around where we were staying in both the UK and in France. Yeah. So Halt Whistle was up from Northern England. I was staying up in Cumbria at the time. And a lot of our other cheeses reflect those names, like Tadwick, it's another village, Parsonby. Belmont is from France.
And Karen's here because, well, first of all, she spent 4 years here with these goats. She knows these cheeses. But I'm talking to the owners of Halt Whistle Cheese, Kirsten Thorensen and Corey Spencer. And joining us to do some wine pairing is Karen Newington, the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this cheese company. Because I'm not a cheesehead, I will do my best on the names. We're going to be talking about Abergavenny, Bellegarde, Belmont, Chèvre, Clevedon, Feta, Fromage Frais, Nailsea, Tadwick, Tombury, Tom DeValle, and more. As always, I need to school myself on the cheese and you at the same time, friends. They don't come in individual slices. And then some wine pairings to go with. I don't think we're going to surprise you with anything because you've come from this cheese world, but it will be interesting to see. For example, if I were doing wine interviews, I'd go, let's taste the whites, and we'll taste the whites, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do the reds, or we'll do bubble, or whatever. Where do we start with, because your portfolio is kind of large, what did you bring?
We've got 5 cheeses here today. I would recommend we would start with the milder ones. We'll start with the cow's milk, and then we'll go into the goat's milk after that. So I would recommend we'd start with our fresh cheese, Fromage Frais. This is a very rustic, very natural cream cheese. This is not grocery store cream cheese. This is a very natural, rustic, buttery, cheesecakey-like fresh cheese.
Okay, now I know that you at the market, you would have to explain that. Mm-hmm. Maybe 50 1,000 times over the course of the summer. But it's like a wine that it's like Zigarreba. People don't know what that is. You have to explain what that is. Do you have to explain every time? And do they understand? Do they get it?
I do have to explain it a lot. And part of that, I think, is our own doing. Like, we haven't called our cheeses Gouda. We haven't called our cheeses Swiss. We've given them our own names. So when people look in our case, they'll see Tadwick. What's Tadwick? And I'll have to explain that it's a cheddar. And as soon as I say cheddar, then they're more familiar with it. But it does take some education. Tom is not a common variety that people, most people know of around here. There are certainly people who do. But yes, a lot of what we do at farmers markets is education.
So why? Why did you choose this way? I mean, it's tough enough to be a farmer, mm-hmm. right? Why did you go this way?
I like to think that we took some artistic license where I don't expect to be able to produce a Gouda that they've been making for hundreds of years in the Netherlands. I don't expect to be able to make a cheddar that they've been making for hundreds of years in cheddar in the UK. I think that particularly when you work with raw milk, you should encourage those local flavors that aren't like the other things. So while we may have started with a Gouda recipe, we might do slightly different things during the aging process or during the make process. And I think that just helps to reflect sort of like that feeling of local, that it's a special thing, that's not a commodity product that you can go up and get anywhere that you go, you know, across the continent.
Where are we with cheese education? For example, in your tasting room over at Unsworth, Karen, do you mention cheese in passing? Or when people ask about pairing with the rosé, for example?
I personally mention cheese a lot just because I'm very familiar with it. And so that's sort of my stomping ground. When people ask about pairings, that's usually my go-to. So for rosé, actually, I was thinking of the first one, the fromage frais. I would be perfect with that. Just because it's clean, it's creamy, it has a little bit of acidity, whereas this has a little bit more, it'll cut through that creaminess. And it's such a summery pairing that I think they'll be perfect together.
Now you know why I started this show on the Naramata bench 15 years ago, just so I could sit under a tree on a summer day with fromage fraîche in front of me and some cold Unsworth rosé. The award-winning, by the way, just won the Wine Line Award. Congratulations. We haven't seen today's results as well. So let's break it out. By the way, the sound you'll hear will be that of crackers and me chewing on them. So this is, where do we find this particular cheese?
This one we have available most times throughout the year. We generally always have it at our farmers markets. There's a great local grocery store here in town called Great Greens. They carry an excellent selection of our cheese as well.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're at Halt Whistle Cheese, which is in the Cowichan Valley, around in the general neighborhood of Zenata and Deer Home Farm. You should know about Deer Home Farm. As I left the house today, Mrs. Mulligan said, "Where can I order it here?"
We don't do online sales ourselves. We do work with the Cowichan Milk Company, which is another great local processor. They make milk from their own herd of cows on their farm. They do home delivery, and we do have a few of our cheeses available for home delivery.
If only you were in the software business, you could like create an online presence.
You know, we had looked at selling online, but frequently the cost of shipping refrigerated product through the mail exceeds sometimes the cost of the cheese that people would necessarily want to buy. So we're happy to do it the way that we're doing it at the moment.
We're also like a really small team. It's been Corey and I for a little while now. We have usually, I would say, three people, sometimes four, including the two of us. We have someone starting with us on Friday, so that's really exciting. But we're a really tiny team, and so we kind of decide what is in our best interest and where the best use of our time is.
You're going to have to learn something about doing interviews.
Yes.
You cannot pause on the cheese on your the knife.
Not to keep and you not,
and
any
I'm
longer.
This close to it.
Sorry.
Because my eye goes to the cheese.
I fail.
And not your lips. Karen, what is it about the rosé that works, and what is it in the cheese that you're pairing with?
Well, I thought first of how mild the cheese is, how creamy it is, how fresh it is, and automatically my mind went to rosé, where it has a little bit of acidity to cut through the creaminess. It's also beautifully fruit-forward, has flavors of strawberry, red apple to it, and those are, of course, fruits that would go perfectly with fromage frais as well. And so it seemed like a very, very easy pairing to me.
Or you could just have nothing with it and just drink it.
Exactly.
Under a tree. Oh, I like this. Do you guys do a nose palate? Do you break it down in terms of what you taste? he said, as they stuff their mouths with cheese and crackers. It's spoonable. It's like a butter.
So back to your past question. I mean, generally for various varieties of our cheeses, we do have a flavor profile that we are aiming for. Particularly for our goat's milk, though, I mean, we do seasonal production with our goat's milk, which means that they all have their babies at the same time. They all go through the same sort of lactation curve or the way that they produce milk throughout the year. And their milk changes substantially more than when we use cow's milk, which is basically more or less homogenous in terms of composition of fat and protein. So we're able to get more of a consistent flavor profile with cow's milk cheeses throughout the year. But we do have those things that we're aiming for. And I think when we taste the starting to the goat milk cheeses later, we'll find that the French style cheese that we chosen is from that early milk where you get a lot of fat. So with the fat, you get a lot of flavor, particularly with goat's milk. Like I said, with the cow's milk, we're going to be on a bit on the milder side for the cow's milk, and it's kind of more what we'd find more consistently, I guess, during our production process.
It's been said, I don't know, Karen, if you'll agree with this, that certain wines are made by character people, and you can tell the character of that person that made the wine in the glass. I'm kind of wondering if that works for cheese.
I think so. I think that's really the beauty of our cheese is that it's never going to be exactly the same. There's always going to be factors that change the cheese. And I mean, Corey's, you know, input into the cheese as well is always going to change it because he's always striving to make it better and change it. So it's what he's after. And I mean, in all fairness, and I mean this in a good way, Corey's never happy with what he makes. And I don't think that's a bad thing. He's always trying to make it the best that he can. And I mean, we've been doing this for 8 years, and I think our cheeses have come a long way over the past 8 years, but he's still striving to make the best cheese that he can.
And you know, it does present a challenge too when we're working with chefs who expect a very similar product for in January versus June versus the fall, and that can be a challenge, especially like I said, with our seasonal production with the goat's milk, and we're starting sheep milk production again next year, because those do change with the seasons. They do change with what the goats are eating. Right now our goats are on pasture. It would be a much lower fat milk, which just really informs what the cheese tastes like 6 months later versus when they're in the barn only eating hay, and we've got like 5%, 6% butter fat. That's a much different cheese than you'll find in the spring milk. So it is there's a lot of an educational process involved with who we're talking to, and that they should expect these variations. Okay. Because
all right, that's where I'm going to start this next. We're going to take a quick break here because we have to charge our glasses and empty our mouths. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. What little do we know about cheese? We'll start with Karen and work out. And I'm putting myself in that same group. How much more do we need to know to appreciate what we have on our tables? Tasting Room Radio, it's our summer cheese special at Halt Whistle Cheese in the Cowichan Valley. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Celebrating the gold that their 2021 Rosé won at the All-Canadian Wine Championships, the release of Soiree, their non-vintage fortified red, and the 2019 Syrah, which got 92 points from Dr. Jamie Good. You can find all the details and more at hillsidewinery.ca. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're at Halt Whistle. Halt Whistle Cheese, it's all one word. Go to the website. It's fantastic. Kirsten Thorarinson and Corey Spencer are the co-founders, co-owners of this amazing place. And you can find Kirsten, for the most part. I don't think I've ever seen Corey there. He doesn't have it for market. He doesn't have that skill of answering those questions. day in, day out at the Duncan Market, but you do, and you do a great job. Karen Newington is the tasting room manager at Unsworth, but she did work here for 4 or 5 years making cheese. Karen, are we any better, we the cheese-buying public, knowing what we're dealing with when we come across a booth like that? We're talking about education, about cheeses. Are people, they want to know more about the rosé. They want to know more about your wines. Are they just as interested in the cheeses?
It very much depends on the clientele. It's a similar thing with wine. Some people come looking for something very specific, and we may or may not have that based on our climate. And I'm sure cheese people are the same way, whether or not they're just passing through and just want to try like a local cheddar or a local feta, or if they actually want to know more about what we have to offer.
I'm going to say that's a no. But you guys, do you do cheese education courses, or is every purchase cheese education?
We don't do any courses. It's a lot of education at market. And I would say, you know, we've been at market for 7 years now, and we have a lot of repeat customers. So we're not doing as much education as we were in our early days at the farmers markets. We have a lot of customers who are familiar with our cheese. They will very eagerly take our recommendation if we have something that we think is exceptional at the moment. They will take our word and they will take that home. Generally, I find there's people who will come up and they'll be very overwhelmed with what they see. They'll say to me, "Oh, this cheese is too fancy for me." Well, cheese is for everybody. You just have to, you know, give it a chance and try it. And it's maybe different than what you've had before, but it's not too fancy for anybody. It's just a different experience than what you're used to. Then there's people who, you know, they probably know their standard varieties of cheese that you would find at the supermarket, like your Parmigiano and, you know, a good cheddar and things like that. And then we certainly get people who know all of their cheeses and will be asking us for very, you know, specific things that we may not produce. But I think we see it all.
It's really a cheese fest.
It's a cheese fest, yeah.
Talking with Kirsten Thorarinson and Corey Spencer from Halt Whistle Cheese in the Cowichan Valley. Doing the wine pairings is the tasting room manager at Unsworth, Karen Newington, who worked for a number of years right here at Halt Whistle. I meant to ask you, Karen, but you poured the rosé to go with the fresh. Anything else that the rosé would go with on this table?
Ooh, I think rosé and feta could be quite nice, but otherwise it might be too light for the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. What's in front of us now?
This is Tadwick. This is our cow's milk cheddar made of raw Ayrshire milk. Right now it's about 5 months old, so it is a younger cheddar. When we're able, we will age it out for a year. The flavor on that is out of this world. This is going to be a milder version of that.
Am I allowed to fondle the cheese?
Yes, you do what you need. Yeah.
So I do find when I was trying to, it is going to be a little bit milder towards the center of the wheel. This was in a big 40-pound, 20-kilogram wheel here. So they tend to age a lot of times from the outside in. Once you start getting up to the rind, though, you start getting those really traditional cheddar kind of notes coming through. There's a bit of that tanginess as well, just forming. Well, that tends to really sort of start showing up in earnest around that 12-month mark. So we'd be about 7 months off getting that really strong, dry, kind of fudgy, really full of flavor stuff. But I mean, this is still a very nice cheese at this point. It's just a different cheese than its 12-month old sort of cousin.
We know that wines age, cheeses age better. Do they find themselves?
To a certain degree. I mean, it depends on your water content. You can't age out like a very soft sort of washed rind cheese. It's only going to be at its peak in about 2 months. Holding it to 6 months, you're going to have a puddle of goo at that point. For the lower moisture content cheeses, particularly with cow's milk, you can age cow's milk out to whatever you like, you know, 3 years, 10 years. With goat, I don't really like taking goat past about that 12-month part. I find that you get sort of some strange flavors that, for me personally, are not enjoyable. I think goat, sort of the magic range for the firmer cheeses is between 6 and 8, or maybe 10 months or so.
You're a goat guy.
I do. We do have a herd of 130 goats, so I am somewhat, biased towards them. I mean, it's what we started with. Although originally, we did plan on doing sheep. It was just that at that point in time, sheep were a little bit frustrating for me to work with. But we've since acquired a smaller flock of sheep, and are starting cheese milk production with that as well too.
I like their character, Karen. What are you tasting, and what immediately comes to mind?
Well, this was actually a tough one for me. This is the 2020 Gamay Pinot Noir. Normally, when I'm pairing with a cheddar, I pair beer with a cheddar. So I don't know if you can see my notes there. I have several different wines crossed out before we settled on this one between Chris and I. And this is a Gamay Pinot blend that's done in a Beaujolais style. So light and bodied, fruit forward, lightly oaked. You get sort of cherry cranberry notes to it. Pair nicely with a...
It helps that I'm a huge Gamay fan. I'm crazy for Gamay. And I'm really happy that we're growing it here in Vancouver Island, because there's not enough in the Okanagan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We previously sourced our Gamay from the Okanagan, but have since found a local Cowichan Valley source, which has been so nice to have.
Tell me about the notes that I'm tasting in there, because that is remarkable. I've never had that. That's the first time. You have to put the knife down, otherwise I'll slice myself. Thank you.
So like I said, you're getting a bit of that tanginess from the acidity that's developing over time. You can sort of taste, not necessarily with the superstore or the supermarket, pardon me, cheddars, but with like some of the nicer English cheddars, you're getting some of those flavors starting to come through, particularly towards the rind too. We do natural rind, so you're seeing... On the rind itself, there's some of the natural yeasts and molds that set up, and you do get sort of more of an earthiness as you sort of approach. If you choose to eat the rind, it's a bit more earthy.
Can I ask that question?
Yes.
I mean, is it just not done or what?
It's an
eating the rind? It's up to you. So I can't speak for all cheeses because they're all made differently. If there's wax on a rind, you're not going to eat that. Although I will tell you about a funny story when I lived in Holland before I was well-versed in cheese and did that. But I've learned my lesson since then. All of our rinds are natural and edible, so it's completely personal choice. Most of what we have here, personally, I would not eat. But our blue, I would eat the rind on that. When we have washed rinds, I would eat the rind on that.
Okay, I'm glad I got that out of the way because I love rind. Okay, except for that. There.
That's going to be a bit more the earthy. So this one has a bit more of that earthiness, which isn't entirely my thing, but it's entirely edible. Nothing.
Okay. First of all, this trip is a huge success just based on that cheese alone, okay?
Thank you.
I'm talking to the owners of Halt Whistle Cheese, Kirsten Thorensen and Corey Spencer. And joining us to do some wine pairing is Karen Newington, the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this cheese company. Give me, please, one more if you can.
One more cheese. Okay. So we'll go next to the Tombury. So this is the last of the cow's milk cheeses that we have today. This is a French Alpine style of cheese called Tom. Corey was apprenticing in France, and he brought this recipe back with him.
Let's give him a spelling.
Tombury, Tombury.
What kind of cheese do they make in Tombury?
I don't know that they make any cheese in Tombury. Tombury is just another one of those little villages up in northern England that we picked. I mean, so it's not even an English style of cheese. It's a French style. It's more of like a family of cheeses. They're rustic farmer style cheeses, and there's no just one Tom. There's 100 varieties of Tom.
What's the closest we have?
That's a hard question.
We get asked that question so often. Like, if people ask me about a cheese and they say, what's it like? This one I struggle with finding a common comparison to, because I really can't think of a well-known cheese that it would compare to. There are people who are familiar with Tom. Generally I find people who have visited France, they are familiar with Tom. Or if they frequent a smaller cheese shop with a good cheese counter, you will find a lot of Toms there. But when you try it, let me know if you can think of anything it compares to, because I draw a blank on that one myself.
Yeah, in terms of the French cheeses, it would be like Tom de Montagne or something. But even then, there's different varieties. Like, each maker kind of has their own thing. I was making this recipe in the Pyrenees Mountains, just sort of on the Spanish-French border. At the time, we were using sheep milk. We came back, and when we bought our goats, we started with the Tom de Valais, which is our goat Tom, and then later adapted it as well to cow's milk production, which is the one that we're doing right now.
Wine has to be served at a certain temperature, sometime room temperature, sometime cool, they insist. What about cheese?
Generally, yes, it's always best to let it come up to room temperature. Even if you let it sit out for 10 or 15 minutes, just to take the chill off from being in the fridge, that's really going to open up the flavors.
What's the shelf life on cheese?
Well, it really depends on the cheese. The lower the moisture, the longer it's going to last for. With our cheeses, you'll notice we have everything wrapped in this cheese paper. And this is made specifically for cheese. We order it by way of France. When it's in this paper, I give it a week, a week and a half. It's not that it's going to go bad or, you know, be harmful after that point. It's just not going to be at its best. And really a good rule of thumb when you're shopping for cheese is just buy what you're going to eat in a week, because then you know you're going to be getting the cheese at its best.
Was that a reject?
No, it was just the rind I was tossing away there. Actually, I quite like this one here. This one's, I'm finding I get sort of a lot of the animal-y notes, the cowiness coming through. For my taste, this is a little bit warmer than I would have let it sit. Mm-hmm. I usually prefer about that 10 to 12 degrees, which is the temperature we pull out of our aging room, is what I base most of my taste notes off. But yeah, when it starts to grease, like you can see like the little of the fat starting to come out here with the shine here. I usually think that's kind of, not that it's gone bad, it's just a little bit warmer than I personally would like
it's
to
It's a beautiful day outside, but it's not a beautiful day for cheese to sit outside. Yeah.
Okay, you geeked out on me. What did you decide? What were the notes in that cheese that made you choose this wine?
This is my personal favorite cheese of their lineup. I absolutely love this one. Love the texture of it. So I went with our 2020 Chardonnay, which is another one of our recent award winners. Won silver at the Wine Align Awards. It has a little bit higher acidity due to our climate here. And so pairing, it makes it a perfect food pairing wine for sure. And it helps just smooth it out completely. You get some of those toasted sort of caramel notes to it. They go beautifully together.
What would you pair with it if we weren't here?
You know, generally, I just eat cheese on its own. Mm-hmm. And I'm not well-versed in the rules of food pairings. And if people ask me this at market, I just say, if you like it, it goes well together. If you like it together, just eat it together. Mm-hmm. And usually when I eat cheese, I will just take this out of the fridge. I will maybe cut up an apple, and that's my snack.
I have to confess that while I taste a lot of cheese, I generally don't eat a lot of our cheese outside of the cheese room. I usually have cravings for other people's cheeses after 8 years of eating around. So I think this is actually a very nice pairing. I might have gone for a red, but I don't know how that would have compared. I mean, in a lot of cases, you got to find the one that works, and maybe a red from one place isn't going to be the same as a red from another place. So I'm happy to have this opportunity.
I am going to disagree slightly. I like the texture at this temperature. That's all. That's just me.
Great. See, that's the thing about, you know, food and cheese is everyone's palate is different and everyone is going to like different things. So what works for one person, not going to work for everybody.
Okay, let's take a break. By the way, at the end of this, because she is the tasting room manager, Karen will give us price points on all these wines so that you can get your pairings in order, because we have a whole summer ahead of us. We're at Halt Whistle Cheese in the Cowichan Valley. And we'll be right back with, what are we coming back with?
Next, we're going to move on to Tom de Valais, which is our signature cheese. It is our Goat's Milk Tom.
Goat's Milk Tom, right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Celebrating the gold that their 2021 Rosé won at the All-Canadian Wine Championships, the release of Soiree, their non-vintage fortified red, and the 2019 Syrah, which got 92 points from Dr. Jamie Good. You can find all the details and more at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is Wine Month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. I hope you're enjoying this, friends. We're doing this for you, the audience, and for me, because I need to know more about the cheese world. But right underneath my nose is Halt Whistle. Talking with Kirsten Thorarinson and Corey Spencer from Halt Whistle Cheese in the Cowichan Valley. Doing the wine pairings is the tasting room manager at Unsworth, Karen Newington, who worked for a number of years right here at Halt Whistle. And you can find Kirsten at the Saturday Duncan Market. Other markets?
Corey is Saturday at the Moss Street Market in Victoria. Also Thursday evenings at Esquimalt in Memorial Park.
Been to any cheese fistfights?
Not quite yet, no.
I've been to wine festivals where guys will walk up to the table and they'll be talking to perhaps the winemaker from Mondavi.
Sure.
They have no idea. They just walk up and say, the wife would like a red. See, the thing is, just not a bar. You know, you're not in a pub. So, what's the goofiest question that's come out from across the table?
There's been a lot. And now that I'm on the spot, of course, it's going to be hard for me to think of one.
We've had our Gouda accused of being a processed cheese, which was kind of offensive, given all the work that went into it.
One of my favorites is always, do you have to milk your goats?
How it works.
That's kind of how it works. I get asked that one quite a bit, actually. What are cheese curds made from is another one.
There's also the accusations that somehow goat milk is not a real milk. That only cows produce real milk and everything else is...
not dairy.
Is fake.
Yeah.
So, someone who actually milks 130 goats, or has 130 goats, rather, that always kind of irks me.
What did you open?
This is our Tom de Valais. So this is the very first cheese that we ever made. And I think because of that, it's the one we're most well known for. Mm. So it's the same style as the Tombury that we just tried, made with 100% goat's milk from our own herd of dairy goats, raw milk as well. It's just a very rich, earthy cheese.
This is the early season milk as well, mm-hmm. too. So we're at the highest fat probably that the goats will have in the year. So it's going to be a very rich, very soft texture. As we go into like that spring summer milk where they're out on pasture, the fats generally almost drop by about half, and you almost get like a much firmer cheese. But you get a lot more of that the grassy notes coming through. It'll be milder. I usually find that the fats bring the flavor. So the more fat you have in the milk, particularly when it comes to goat milk, the more flavor that's going to come through.
What is the best? Is there such a thing as the peak season for buying cheeses fresh?
For us, when we're on pasture, which we usually turn the goats out about April, May, June, that's when I find that the milk tastes the best for us. And so that would reflect itself in the cheeses 3 to 4 months after that fact. So we have to give them 3 to 4 months to age.
July, August, September.
There we are.
September! Thank you. Okay, the Super Bowl of cheeses. Now, I'm talking to the owners of Halt Whistle Cheese, Kirsten Tharrenson and Corey Spencer. And joining us to do some wine pairing is Karen Newington, the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this cheese company. I saw Karen do an eye roll and started to bliss out. I thought I was going to have to grab her hand. She was sliding off the table. What did you eat and what... what caused the bliss?
Oh, I love this cheese, and I was just thinking when they mentioned for starting to milk the goats, that's always when I would try and snag as much cheese as I possibly could. That very first batch of Chev that they do every year is the best possible Chev that you have ever tasted in your life. And I couldn't help but laugh a little bit earlier at the funny questions, and the one that sprang to mind for me was that people always think that goat's cheese is going to be soft. Just like Chev is, and that you can make these beautiful firmer cheeses with them, and even hard cheeses with them too, that are absolutely incredible. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the cheese that kind of represents you guys, more or less.
I would say so.
Flagship?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's the one we've made the longest, so it's been with us for 8 years now. It's the one we started making.
Run the name by them again.
Tom de Valais.
Thank you.
So Tom, in terms of the French style, T-O-M-M-E. Whereas Tombury, the cow's milk Tom, just happened to be a conveniently named village from northern England.
What did you pour?
I poured our 2020 Pinot Noir. It just so happens that our own flagship wine pairs perfectly with our flagship cheese. It's earthy in its own way. Notes of bright cherry, forest floor, some violet notes to it as well. And I think they go splendidly together.
So Tom, in terms of the French style, T-O-M-M-E. Whereas Tombury, the cow's milk Tom, just happened to be a conveniently named village from northern England.
I knew he was going to be a problem. I just knew it. I knew it. No, that's important. Chef at the bistro at Unsworth, we've been going in for the pizza Monday, Tuesday, and he's all over a couple of your cheeses. Do you know what they are?
Frequently cleaved in. It's a Swiss Alpine style. That is my personal favorite of all the cheeses that we make. It's just a really buttery, nutty, smooth, a little bit nutty. I love that cheese.
Okay, well, have you tried it on pizza?
I have had, it's been a while, but I have had the pizza at Unsworth, and I
it's
do love
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic! I love the Pinot, wood Pinot. Transfer itself to other cheeses, or do you have to watch your way?
No, it transfers itself to a number of cheeses. One of the top ones that ones that comes to mind is sheep's milk manchego. I mean, all manchego is sheep's milk, but manchego specifically works really, really nicely with Pinot. But it's quite versatile. It's a great pairing wine. It's not too heavy in that way, and yeah, as long as the cheese isn't too salty or too sharp, it should go very, very well with the Pinot.
How about the Pinot and the cheese?
I'm really enjoying it.
By the way, in the wine world, there's an ongoing debate about the temperature of the Pinot. And some people want room temperature. Some people want it 10 minutes in the fridge. There's now a move to just do 10 minutes in the fridge with Pinot. It seems to pop the flavor. Does anything happen with cheese if you cool it up quickly?
I've never tried that.
No, neither have I.
Normally we're going in the opposite direction, trying to warm it up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back next summer and see what happens. Okay?
Sounds good.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to see what we compare with feta, and then we'll wrap this up. This is Tasting Room Radio at Halt Whistle Cheese, Cowichan Valley. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is Wine Month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. And in case you missed it, at the just-completed 2022 All-Canadian Wine Championships, double gold medal for the Tariga Nationale, three gold medals for Arnaiz, Malbec, and Tanat, silver medals for Dead of Night, Syrah, Tempranillo, and bronze for Viognier and Border Vines. Mooncursor, the 2019 Best Performing Small Winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're at Halt Whistle Cheese, which is in the Cowichan Valley, around in the general neighborhood of Zenata and Deer Home Farm. You should know about Deer Home Farm. I'm talking to the owners of Halt Whistle Cheese, Kirsten Tharrenson and Corey Spencer. And joining us to do some wine pairing is Karen Newington, the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this cheese company. We're back with Karen, Kirsten, and Corey. I'm surprised, actually, Corey is still here. He could be driving a tractor somewhere. What's that last cheese?
This is our goat's milk feta. And we were on the fence about doing this with wine. We've never actually had it with wine before. This one, I mean, usually people put it in salads or, you know, it's good on eggs or, you know, it's not necessarily a cheese you would think to pair with wine. So I'm really excited to see how this one goes.
So it spends most of its life in brine, which is why you don't get any rind on it. The brine just helps to preserve it. It keeps a lot of salt. I mean, the brine is about 10% salt by volume. It's relatively low acidity. It's more of a spoilage preventing thing more than anything else.
Did you think of coming up with a catchy Cowichan name for it?
We did, but we just thought that this is actually one of the very few cheeses that we just call it what it is. It's feta. Yeah.
It's better with feta. Now, Karen, what did you bring from Unsworth to match this?
I brought our 2020 Pinot Gris from the Saison Vineyard. So considered our reserve Pinot Gris. It has a little touch of sweetness to it to balance out the saltiness of the feta. A little bit of like a softer fruit-forward wine. You get notes of ripe nectarine to it. And it should pair beautifully with this.
Is this Saanich?
No, this one is North Cowichan. Okay. So Saison Vineyard is close to Emmendaire and Alderley Vineyards. And they are some of our growers, and they grow incredible Pinot Gris and Pinot Noir.
Could I have a small chunk?
Yes, I cut smaller pieces just because it is a saltier cheese. But
you guys do your own little taste test. I'll talk to Karen for a second. What is it in this feta that you want to match with your Pinot Gris?
Well, feta has that very unique sort of briny flavor to it, which makes it so incredible. And so I focused on that and that saltiness to pick out something that will help balance it, because usually with wine pairings, you either want to match the flavors or you want to contrast the flavors as a way to balance it. And so the slight little bit of sweetness left over with the Pinot Gris will pair beautifully with the saltiness of the feta.
So how do you like the pairing?
That was nice. That, like I said, that's our first feta pairing, but I think it was very good.
The wine really, I feel, cut the saltiness, so mm-hmm. It was, you know, easier to eat on its own. Because on its own, straight up, I do find it on the saltier side. Mm-hmm. It's just when you add it to other things that tones that down a little bit. It was beautiful.
Karen, would Riesling work?
Absolutely, yes.
Dry?
Preferably off dry.
But not Pinot?
Not so much Pinot. Perhaps a heavier New World Pinot that's quite fruit forward and not too heavily oaked would work quite well. But I tend to think automatically of an off-dry white, an off-dry aromatic white specifically for feta.
People, as you know, people are doing feta salads, feta in everything, right? So you can imagine how that frees things up.
This is Greek salad season for us usually at markets. We find that as soon as those cucumbers and
tomatoes
come in, like our feta just flies.
So did that work for you?
It was beautiful. I enjoyed it.
Working our way through a variety of cheeses at Halt Whistle Cheese in the Cowichan Valley, Kirsten Thorarinson and Corey Spencer are the owners. Karen Newington is the tasting room manager at Unsworth and a former employee of this very Halt Whistle Cheese. Now, give us a recap, if you will, about the Halt Whistle portfolio, not the whole portfolio, friends. If you go to the website, you'll see what I'm talking about. What did we start with?
We started with Fromage Frais, which is our fresh cow's milk cheese. From there, we went on to Tadwick, which is our cow's milk cheddar, and then Tombury, which is our cow's milk Tom. And then the two goat's milk cheeses we tried, Tom de Valais and our feta.
Now, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to give you my hands-down winner, or at least the one that I am coveting.
The Tadwick.
I just love that cheddar. I love that cheddar.
Well, lucky for you, Corey cut an extra piece there, so you've got an intact one to take back with you.
Can we ask about prices?
Yes. So generally at market, most of our cheeses are sold by weight. So we have a scale and each piece is going to be slightly different. But generally, if you come see us at market, you're looking at about probably $13, $14 for a wedge of cheese.
What's to come? Are you working on something special? You want to tease anything?
We have some really nice wheels that we've got set aside for fall. So I have some of our goat milk alpine cheeses that we do in big 20-30 pound wheels that I'm waiting on. That's our Belmont. So it's one of our Swiss style, nice firm. It gets a beautiful flavor after 6 to 8 months or so. We're starting to ramp up our production again. So I'm hoping to hold up more wheels of our Tadwick to the full 1 year. So we have 1 year Tadwick available more regularly throughout the year. And we are restarting production of our much sought after blue, the Abergavenny blue, a beautiful soft gateway blue for even the people that don't like blue cheeses. That should be more available in the coming months.
There's a guy up in the Okanagan. I know his label is Bella. Jay Drysdale. That's his name.
There we are.
And Jay Drysdale only works with Gamay. Jay Drysdale, on his press release for his Pet Nat wines, says, yes, there's sentiment at the bottom of the bottle. Get over it. That's his marketing.
It's probably similar to our, yes, there's mold on our rinds and you have to get over it. That's part of our natural rind raw milk cheeses. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's what it is.
I got to put you and he together. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, a cage match, 2 out of 3. You are the cheese version of him and he is the wine version of you.
Okay, good to know. Okay.
In terms of the wines, how did you do?
Oh, good. We started with our 2021 Rosé, which goes for $26.90.
The award-winning.
Mm-hmm. And then we moved on to our 2020 Gamay Pinot Noir blend, which goes for $26.90 as well. And then we moved to our 2020 Chardonnay for $30.90. Then our 2020 Pinot Noir for $38.90. And then we finished off with our 2020 Pinot Gris for $25.90.
What did we solve here? I mean, I'm trying to do wine education from wine and food education and pairing cheese and wine for myself and for an audience. There's a lot to learn.
Absolutely. And I think for Corey and myself, for when it comes to cheese, we will always be learning about cheese.
Hey, can we start a cheese festival here? Early enough?
Yeah, I'd love to have a cheese festival. Yeah. We just need more cheesemakers to participate in it, which seems to be happening. So this is a good thing.
Yeah, that's great.
How many can we count on? How many?
In the Cowichan Valley. Yeah. So right now there are three in the Cowichan Valley, which is...
Salt Spring, four.
Salt Spring is close by. And then there's a couple more further up island as well.
What, Sandwich, they got cheesemakers?
I don't think there's any down
there,
no.
We're the furthest south. I mean, if we included the rest of British Columbia, we'd probably have about 20, which would be the right number for a festival.
I think it's time.
I agree.
How do we get a hold of you?
Through our website, you can find our contact information. So haltwhistlecheese.com. And if you go to the contact page, you'll find all the information there.
And remind them, please, again, which markets you attend.
Saturdays, you can find us in Duncan at the Duncan Farmers Market or in Victoria at the Moss Street Market. And Thursday evenings, we are in Esquimalt at Memorial Park.
And how about that? You're wide open now. Wait a minute. You're going to, Unsworth just does pizza in the bistro Monday, Tuesday. I know that for a fact. And then it's wide open with Chef Martin Wednesday through Sunday. And the tasting room is open?
Daily from 11 till 5.
And website?
Our website is unsworthvineyards.com, where you can find our full lineup of wines.
What is a Nailsea?
Nailsea is our cow's milk Gouda, and it's also the town in England where my dad is from.
Belmont.
Belmont is the cheese Corey was speaking of. It's our Swiss Alpine goat's milk cheese. So we'll have some lovely, beautiful wheels of that coming up later in the fall.
Bellegarde.
So if you like the fromage frais, it's very similar. Bellegarde is a fresh cow's milk cheese. It's a little more dense. We sprinkle it with Herb de Provence.
Abergavenny.
That is our very, very popular blue cheese.
Remind me what Cleveland is.
So Cleveland is my personal favorite. That is our Swiss Alpine cow's milk cheese. That is the cheese that you have had at the pizza at Unsworth.
I didn't ask you about terroir.
Yes.
What does the valley give us in terms of terroir?
I think for us it's more apparent in our goat milk cheeses. As I was saying, we do seasonal production, so those changes in the lactation as the goats through their pregnancy together, the milk changes in terms of protein and fat content. It's a taste of place, but also of time. January cheeses are different than the June cheeses, are different than the November cheeses.
Is it science or art?
A little bit of both.
Types of milk, goats and cow, raw versus pasteurized. Do we want to know?
Sure. Predominantly, we work with raw milk. Any cheese that we age for 2-3 months up to a year will be made with raw milk. The only fresh cheeses we make are the fromage frais, the Bellegarde, those are examples. So those are really high moisture cheeses that just don't have a shelf life. They can't be aged. They will just spoil. Those are all pasteurized.
Who does the molding and pressing?
For the most part, it's myself right now. And just if I could go back to the terroir question and the raw milk. I mean, working with raw milk is you're also going to be seeing different flora and fauna present throughout the year. So cheeses do age differently, and you'll get different flavors coming out of it, particularly with the raw milk, because we're leaving everything intact. So you get a little taste of the animals, the environment coming through in bacteria, yeast, and mold.
Thank you for this. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let the dogs loose. Enjoy yourself. Let's go talk to some goats. And thank you for this.
Thank you very much. Sorry.
Kirsten Thorarinson and Corey Spencer are the co-owners and co-founders of Halt Whistle, and Karen Newington is the tasting room manager at Unsworth, but she did work here for 4 or 5 years making cheese. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Vineyards. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from: the gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. And in case you missed it, at the just-completed 2022 All-Canadian Wine Championships, double gold medal for the Tariga Nationale, 3 gold medals for Arnaise, Malbec, and Tanat, silver medals for Dead of Night, Syrah, Tempranillo, and bronze for Viognier and Border Vines. Moon Cursor, the 2019 Best Performing Small Winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.